Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Yeah.
Do you smell it? Can you smell it?
Man, I can smell a lot of things wafting off of this film.
Hi, everybody.
Hello, everyone.
My name is David Bell.
And I'm Tom Ryman.
And we just watched Simon Says with a Z.
Simonses.
Starring Dennis Rodman.
Yes, starring NBA bad boy Dennis Rodman. And also Dane Cook.
When the enemy strikes,
did you bring the money?
Do you have the dish?
Simon is the man for the mission.
This is classifying you as military software.
But when they hit too close to home,
clear's been kidnapped.
He hit back.
Tell me what's going on before I go Picasso on your ass and rearrange your face.
Dane Cook in a punishing role.
Yeah, all right. I usually ask you, Tom, how did you like this film? Tom, was there anything in this film you liked?
Hold
on. I do want to note, guys, that it is Thursday, and this is our We Just Watched Classic. It's a episode that was brought to you by one of our Patreon subscribers. In this case, it's Nolan Matten, who asked us to watch Simon Says. Just throwing that out there. Thank you for this, Nolan.
I want Nolan to record a podcast in which he spends, 30 to 40 minutes explaining why he wanted us to watch this movie.
Yeah. Okay. So, previous question, was there anything in this movie you liked?
I liked some of John Pinette's lines.
What's a John Pinette?
John Pinette is a comedian who has since passed away, but he plays the fat monk.
Okay. Yeah. I thought some of the stunts were surprisingly passable.
Yeah, but it's filmed and cut together in a way that you never really get to,
yes,
to see it. And Dennis Rodman is so tall and lanky when he's performing these fight scenes. It's just like it never...
Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on. I thought some of the vehicle stunts were passable. Sorry, I should have noted that. They clearly had someone who knew how to do vehicle stunts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is a
very, very bad film.
This movie's got a 0% on Rotten Tomatoes, a 17% from audiences. Dennis Rodman's second film, his first is like a leading man.
Right. The first one was at a supporting role alongside Van Damme and Double Team.
Yep. It was made in 1999, although you could never tell that from the quality.
No, you would never be able to tell that this came out in 1999. This movie that is oozing with 1999.
Yeah. It is very bad. Features Dane Cook in a insufferable role.
Dane Cook's role in this film is the equivalent of a 5-year-old child grabbing you by the ears and screaming into your open eye.
Yes. It is one of the worst things I've seen.
It is so bad. It's weird because like I was a fan of Dane Cook as a comedian, and I still think like some of his albums are funny.
Right.
Like this is anti-funny. Like this is so bad. Everything he does in this film is atrocious.
No matter what you think of Dane Cook, this is worse than you would expect.
Yes.
It is surprising.
Right. Yeah.
My only guess, because he looks 15 in this.
Right. He looks very, very young.
My guess is that he was unrestrained. They like made him improv a lot, but also there was a lot of shit. Like you can tell what the lines were that was clearly someone wrote and gave to him, because this movie really... It really wants to be funny, man.
Mm-hmm. It's really trying to be funny.
It's got a lot of funny scenes. A
lot of chuckles.
Should we go through the plot? Because no one has seen this movie.
I fucking guess we should.
All right. I don't want to go through the plot, mind you, because I'm not sure I understand it. But that's also because this movie was like, and it was Dane Cook especially, but in general, this movie dares you to watch it.
Oh, yeah.
I got something out of it in terms of there's some stuff that's so bad or baffling that it's worth talking about. But once they would get into like the spy, like I wasn't quite sure what the hell was going on because
yeah.
The plot is Dennis Rodman's a secret agent?
No, he's an Interpol agent.
Okay.
He's not even 007. He works for fucking Interpol.
That's already fucking baffling. He has
a secret base with two monks who are also his Qs.
Yes, this is okay.
They make gadgets for him. This is all revealed to you in the first 3 minutes.
Yep. Did you assume that they were in disguise as monks?
Yes, of course I did.
Yeah.
Why would they be actual monks?
He has two Qs where they have a hideout in a church and they're dressed as monks. And my first instinct was like, why are these guys randomly monks? And then they establish, oh, they're hiding out in a church. And I was like, oh, they're undercover as monks.
Yes, they must be dressed as monks.
Yeah, this movie isn't that confusing. And then they remain as monks throughout and are, in fact, monks.
Mm-hmm.
That is...
They sure are.
Why are they monks? Anyone? Mm-mm. Why?
I got nothing. It doesn't make any sense.
They just remain monks throughout the whole movie. So yeah. What is happening?
I don't know. They don't explain how they met Simon. They don't explain what that relationship is. They don't explain whether they work for Interpol or whether it's just Simon that's working for Interpol.
At the end, he's
just like subcontracting these monks that are also like computer whizzes and tech surveillance savants.
Yeah. At the end, when they recruit Dane Cook, they sort of say like, oh, welcome to the club. Like he just picks him up off the street. Like there's no hiring process. He doesn't give him a W-2 or anything like that.
Oh, no. No, these guys get paid. These guys don't pay taxes.
And it makes sense, him hiring Dane Cook, who is unhinged throughout the movie. Like, he's a madman.
You said it the best, however you feel about Dane Cook.
Yeah. But the performance, I mean, that character is like, oh, this guy, someone needs to take this guy to the hospital. Like, because he hit his head.
I think we need to skip over all that and just execute him.
Yeah.
Like, he can't.
Yeah, because he is, like, he clearly kills people. He is, like, all right, what it is, like, a Stew and Scream, where Scream did it really well, where it was like, hey, what's up, I'm Stew, I'm so wacky, and then you realize, like, oh, no, he's completely insane. He's, like, drooling insane.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that. It's that level. It's beyond that level of intensity.
It's if you took that type of pretty broad but still grounded in the intensity of a thriller movie. Like if you took like that kind of a broad performance and shot it out of a cannon.
Yeah,
that's what Dane Cook is doing in this film.
Think of the humor in like a kid's movie.
Yes.
But it's not a kid's movie. Like there's a part he goes to the church and they're pretending to be God on the loudspeaker and he just believes it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like instructing him to dance. So we have to sit and we are forced to watch this all unfold.
Mm-hmm.
And it's horrifying.
Are forced to watch so many just wacky bits with Dane Cook. I was 10 minutes in and I texted you, Dane Cook is intolerable in this film.
He really is. Everybody's intolerable. The two monks, they sound like when I first heard them over the radio, I was like, is he talking to like drunk Muppets? Like, what the fuck are these people?
They're so exaggerated.
Yeah. And then I wrote down one of the lines where the two guys say to each other, he the man, no, you the man. No, you the man, and Dennis Rodman, when the bad guy shows up, goes, no, guys, this must be the man. So this is the level we're talking about.
Right.
The first sequence is a bike stunt, and that was when I was like, oh, this is passable, because there's a bike jump in it, and my expectations were very low.
I don't even see why you were dazzled by that bike stunt. I mean, it was fine.
I wasn't dazzled. I was like, again, passable, surprisingly passable vehicle stunts.
Here's the one of the strangest things about this movie's configuration of characters is you have Dane Cook, who is just playing a cartoon Muppet just having a stroke.
Yep.
You've got these two monks who are also cracking wise. They're kind of like the other two Muppets, you know, the theater critics a little bit.
Yeah.
But they're like they're in there with their snarky remarks and stuff. And then you have Dennis Rodman in the center of this, who what was Dennis Rodman famous for? Apart from his skills at playing basketball, what was Dennis Rodman famous for?
Being like kind of wacky?
Right, being a wild, outlandish larger than life character.
Right,
what,
and he's the
what does he
man.
Do in this? Yeah. He is the dead faced, like humorless straight man in this film. Like, yep. Why the fuck would you cast Dennis Rodman as this character?
I don't know. And at first I thought, because when they first show him, he's just like Uma Thurman in Kill Bill.
Yeah.
And he has a motorcycle helmet on. Mm-hmm. And I thought like, oh, is this going to be like the movie The Minis, a movie we've watched, where mm-hmm. they've clearly only could get Dennis Rodman for a weekend. And then they put him in the front and center, like on the poster. But yeah. No, he's committed to this movie.
Oh, you know, he's in this film. This was when Rodman was making a full go at a movie career.
Yeah. Was this made professionally?
Yes, this had a theatrical release.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Because this looks like garbage. The green screen when they jump.
Yeah, when they're in the parachuting car.
And it's so bad. Like, it's 1999. The Matrix came out this year.
Yeah. Jurassic Park came out 6 years prior. Yeah,
there is no excuse. It looks like very independent. It looks like public access level at times.
It looks embarrassingly bad.
Yeah, it looks like it was good in the 1970s. Like,
I mean, mercifully, there is not a lot of CGI in this film.
Yes, the parachute is one.
Yeah.
Also, we haven't even mentioned... We're not even done with the characters, because there's the bad guys.
The bad guy, holy Christ.
The bad guy was like a guy like mocking British people.
Right, and he was behaving like a weird... Like the Riddler by way of Alan Cumming.
Right.
But that as the villain in a Disney movie, like Blank Check. Like, imagine if instead of Miguel Ferrer, the villain in Blank Check was Alan Cumming doing a Riddler impression.
Yeah.
And that's what this bad guy is.
He has the line, "Let's get the Dickens out of here."
Yeah.
And then he says, "We're having a spot of trouble" at one point. And I just thought, like, again, I don't think this was an actual British person.
I'm not sure.
I don't know. And then his gang is the Clockwork Orange gang.
Sort of.
The Droogs.
Sort of. They just have random configuration of face paint on.
Yeah, they sure do.
They're just painted as random things.
Yeah. There's one that's like sort of Clockwork Orange.
There's one guy that's definitely like shades of Droog.
I think
maybe
member of KISS is in there.
I'm sure. It might actually have been Paul Stanley.
Yeah. And then there's the romantic couple, which I don't... Okay. So the plot is he... Oh, fuck.
Okay.
Okay.
I think I've got it if you wanted me to take a crack at it.
Yes, please.
Pretty sure I've got it. Okay. So there's this... where the fuck are they?
Paris.
Italy? Paris? Are they in France?
I think they're in France the whole time. I think they're in the same four blocks of France.
Okay. So there's this wealthy French dude. His son is together with this American college student who's there on an exchange program, and they're like totes in love.
Yeah, they're too in love.
Yeah, they're over the top in love.
Yeah. Also, okay, I don't want to go off on the tangent, but every scene with them felt like a David Lynch film. The first one, they're on, it's Lynchian, at least. They're on the beach, and the romantic guy is introduced by doing gymnastics into the scene.
Yes.
He gymnastics into the scene, and yes. then they're talking, and then they go out, and the father's being really creepy and being right. like, stay where I can see you, and like, well, you don't know what the fuck's happening.
The father appears behind them and startles the girl, and she's like, oh, Mr. So-and-so, I didn't see you there. At this point, we do not yet know who Mr. So-and-so is.
No, we don't know what any of this is.
It takes about 30 more seconds before it's revealed, oh, he's that guy's dad.
Yes.
This is weird.
The second time we see them, uh-huh. they're boating in a boat.
They're doing the lazy river cruise.
Well, this is the reveal is that they get out of the boat and they're in a pool.
Yeah.
Like that pool is maybe the size of a tennis court, I want to say. Like it's not big when you look at it.
Mm-hmm.
You can see the ends of it. So again, Lynchian. it was just like, what is happening? Why are they in this boat?
Well, they get out of the boat and walk towards a table with a prepared breakfast set out.
Yes.
It's with no one else around.
This movie is like a dream. The third time, they're at a winery, I believe, and yes. they run by them, and she is, I believe, pouring wine down his throat.
Yes.
And he's like choking on it, and yeah. they don't explain why that's happening.
And then he says, well, you know, I forget what her name is, but he shouts in protest. She runs off and he chases after her, but like hawkishly, like he's going to fucking yes. beat the shit out of her when he catches her.
Right. I don't know what any of that was.
I don't understand the dynamics of their relationship. It's baffling. But the plot is that the French kid's dad is being forced by a crazy British Riddler to engage in this arms deal or else he's gonna kill his son, I think, right?
Okay.
I thought I had it. Now it's gone.
Well, here's why I got confused, because Dennis Rodman's friend asked him to help save his daughter who was kidnapped, but they never show she was kidnapped. They show that she's just on a date that I believe is lasting days. Mm-hmm. With this supervision of the dad. And the dad, from what I could tell, was the guy asking Dennis Rodman to save the daughter. But I guess you're saying it's the dad of the son?
Well, okay. So the dad of the daughter hires Dane Cook. And Dane Cook comes to Rodman
right.
and is I need your help. The dad of the son is being forced to engage in this arms deal, which is using, if he doesn't, they'll kill his son, but if he does, it's the girl that's the ransom. So
Who's watching them on the beach? I'm getting a pen and a paper. Hold on.
Okay.
All right. There's.
I thought I had it, and as soon as I started talking about it, it like fell apart.
I'm trying
as soon as I tried to put it into words, it was like, wait, this doesn't make sense.
All right, boy, girl. I'll put a heart between them.
All right, hold on. I'm going to pull up Wikipedia. Let's see what Wikipedia
has to say. No, there's nothing
on
Wikipedia. I looked.
Not even a plot summary?
No, there's nothing.
Giblin?
So the dad, because this is the... Oh, fucking Christ. Because at one point in the movie, what happens is he's called... Okay. Someone asked Dennis Rodman to save his daughter. We can agree
yes,
on that.
It's Dane Cook.
All right. I'll put DC.
Yeah, Dane Cook has been hired by the girl's dad to bring her back. And he knows Rodman from like a couple of classes he took at CIA and is like, hey, help me do this.
Yeah.
That is okay. That he stumbles into Rodman on his way to this ransom drop.
So
that is how Rodman gets involved.
Okay, so who is watching them on the beach? Is it the other dad? Because
it's the other dad. It's the French guy's dad.
French, I'm writing it down. Dad. Okay, because on the beach he seems concerned for the girl.
Yeah, he doesn't want anybody to explode.
But what I mean is that the movie does such a bad job, because is she the one who calls him Mr. Whatever?
Yes.
Okay, it's all coming together, because the exchange is so fucking weird. Is her like, I didn't see you there, Mr. So-and-so, so it's like, is this a bodyguard? And then he's like, oh, stay where I can find you, and he's doting her. And I was like, is he her father?
No,
or her bodyguard?
He's the French guy's dad. But we already know, like, we don't know this yet, but then we learn that he's sort of being forced to ransom her. So, like, okay. that's why he's concerned.
So, all right. So, British bad guy.
Yeah, British Riddler.
British Riddler is forcing the dad to hold the girl hostage, but she doesn't know.
She doesn't know, correct. She's staying with them while she's there on an exchange program.
I ask this because what happens is then Dane Cook's like, you got to help me. And Dennis Rodman's like, all right. And the girl is clearly not in any distress. And in fact, the only distress she is put in is by Dennis Rodman, who then kidnaps her, hogties her. And they're like, we're saving you.
No. Dane Cook does that. Remember?
Okay.
Rodman runs interference. Dane Cook runs up on them and says, and pulls out a gun and says, I'm here to help you.
Right.
And drags her into a car.
Again, he's unhinged. But then when Rodman sees her, he doesn't seem to care that much. And then it takes a while for anybody to question the fact that they've clearly just kidnapped her. Like, Rodman doesn't stop and go, whoa. What are we doing now? Like, I thought the reveal was going to be that Dane Cook was the bad guy.
That would have been better, but no.
No, because
he's just a bumbling private detective, basically.
Right. Right, because he reveals that he didn't know Dennis Rodman or something.
He reveals that he knew him because he was in those classes, but that he washed out.
Tom, we haven't even talked about the assassin woman. She's also a character.
The assassin woman who never gets a name.
Never gets a name.
She has a sex scene with Dennis Rodman. Yeah. We never learn what this character's name is. She's credited as the dancer.
Oh my fucking God. Her sex scene.
It's wild.
Yeah, she has a lot of, she has a big role too.
She has a substantial role. She has the kind of role you'd name a character.
Yep. She should be, she's the only competent person, character in all this. She has a bed with a button on the side that turns her bed into a sex nightclub.
That's right.
They go to have sex rave. Yeah, they go to have sex, and she's like, hit it, and like hits this button. She probably doesn't say hit it, but it's basically that same energy, and it starts being like, and there's just
strobing
fucking
its
light.
Ass off, just strobing the fuck out.
Yeah, all I could think is like, you at least once a night, you're gonna accidentally roll over and set off the sex club. Every fucking night, in the middle of the night,
you're gonna get ripped awake thinking the demons have shown up for you.
Yeah, exactly. You're gonna wake up to World War III every fucking night. Oh my God.
Yeah.
This is... Dane Cook, is there quicksand in this movie?
There is! I'm glad you brought it up.
Why? Okay. They're in like catacombs. I think they're at their church hideout, right?
Yes, they are beneath the church where their base is, their high tech base is. The bad guys show up, blow up all their equipment, and then chase them down the tunnels. So the monks and Dane Cook trick the bad guys into going one way and then go the other way, and then one of the monks is like, haha. This way goes to the beach. We just tricked them to going into the quicksand. But then the reveal is that he got the directions mixed up and that they are now standing in quicksand. Womp womp.
Oh, and then there's a quicksand scene.
Then there's a quicksand scene.
Why is there quicksand in...
I don't know.
This is Power Rangers. It's children's TV show, Disney Channel level humor.
Right, it's very like Power Rangers, Agent Cody Banks. Like, that's the kind of movie this is.
Right, but with sex scenes.
Yeah. With a little more edge thrown in to get that PG-13.
Yeah, it is so baffling. Dane Cook fights, I think, the assassin lady and starts acting like a dinosaur?
He does, yeah. There's a couple of moments in the movie where... it's clear the script has ended and Dane Cook is now just doing his stand-up routine.
Yes.
Because there is an extended bit in his stand-up routine where he mimes a dinosaur.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, that's a lot of times comedians show up in movies.
Yeah, but it seems like at this point...
It didn't work for... Well, I'm reminded of every Chris Rock movie, which I love. I love them all. Mm-hmm. But at some point, every character shuts up and Chris Rock does a tight five.
Yeah. In this film, it's like it's clear that at this point in his stand-up, it was a lot of like weird noises and physical comedy, and it just...
Yes.
I mean, and that's a lot of, you know, of Dane Cook's.
I would argue it's the worst.
Yeah, this is like the worst kind of it.
Yes, because I'm lukewarm on Dane Cook. I don't hate him. I hate the movies he's in.
Oh, they're terrible.
But like in terms of and I guess he's kind of a D-bag, but in terms of like when I first watched like him on Comedy Central, I liked the jokes that weren't him pretending to be some sort of creature.
And these are all him pretending to be some sort of creature.
Yes, this is all the worst. And then some.
Yeah. Our cup runneth over of Dane Cook doing weird animal physical comedy.
Yes, it is not pleasant.
Mm-mm. It is excruciating in point of fact.
Yeah, and whenever I see the character holding a gun in this, I'm scared. Like it's like
he always does a bit about like fumbling to take it out and then waving it around like he clearly doesn't know what he's doing.
I think unhinged is the best phrase for it. Like he's like a guy who's had too much to drink at a party that everybody is giving like a wide berth. Where it's just like, whoa, Jesus, oh my God.
No, you're right. It's like a guy who has too much to drink at a party that suddenly pulls out a gun.
Yes, it is. Every time he has a gun, I'm just like, geez, oh, mm-hmm. God, stop waving it at the camera.
And what's worse is that a couple of times in the film, like in the end of the movie when they storm the bad guy's castle and he and the French boyfriend,
who
turns out to be like a karate action hero.
Well, I think that's why the gymnastics happened.
Right, to sort of tip us off. But like,
yes,
they just sort of recruit him and like he immediately knows how to use all these weapons and he's kicking the shit out of people and killing dudes with no problem. But anyway, when they storm the bad guy's castle, like they do a couple of times where like French karate boyfriend like chuckles good naturedly at Dane Cook's antics. I'm like, no.
Oh yeah, he's supposed to be funny. Dennis Rodman spends a lot of this film laughing. Like whenever his monks do something funny, they cut to him laughing. And it's like them being like, look, guys, it's funny. See? It's funny. It's not
Rodman's
insufferable.
Laughing.
Yeah, Rodman likes it. Dane Cook murders a man with a throwing spear in this.
He sure does.
I'm just going through some notes. Yeah.
He just picks up a spear and throws it right through a man's torso.
Yeah. He really does that. It's, again...
While holding a gun.
It's unsettling.
Unclear why he chose the spear.
Right. He's got a gun in one hand, a spear in the other.
Yeah. Gun's way easier, man.
Oh, my God.
It takes so little effort to shoot somebody. Way less than a spear throwing.
Yeah. What does the bad guy want? It's a disc.
It's a disc that controls a laser beam.
Oh, my God. I know that the disc had a little avatar of the bad guy in it.
Yeah,
for some reason. Yeah, and would die when he died. It was connected to his soul.
His soul was in that laser.
Yeah, because the bad guy gets electrocuted at the end, and the little avatar starts getting electrocuted as well. And I'm not sure why that happened, except... do we know why the avatar exists?
No.
Okay.
It's just there.
Is it possible that he wanted the disc because due to some experiment he had accidentally captured some of his soul in the disc?
I was assuming it was some kind of Faustian bargain, but yeah, we can go with that.
Yeah, or the devil. I feel like the devil is with us watching this movie.
I felt the devil's presence when I watched this film.
It feels like the end times.
I kind of heard flies buzzing the entire time, just the edge of my hearing.
I wanted the reveal to be like a pullout on the world or like a montage, and everybody is slowly acting more and more like Dane Cook. And like, it's just a reveal that it's, yeah, it's end times.
I'm pretty sure it's at one point towards the end of the film, like the third time Dane Cook was writhing around and screaming in an animal voice. Pretty sure I felt some hands on my shoulders asking me if I wanted to live deliciously.
Exactly. Got a little goat presence there.
I felt a little goat. I felt a little Black Phillip in the room.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Dane Cook's dressed like Dennis Rodman at the end.
Yeah, with like a fake goatee and all the piercings. Yeah.
Don't know why that happened.
I don't know. I did laugh at that.
Yeah.
It was so stupid.
Yeah. That was probably the most I laughed.
That might have been the most genuine laugh.
Yes.
Because I was genuinely laughing at something they intended to be funny.
Oh, yeah, I did. I laughed at the... Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the mission accomplished laugh.
Yeah, congrats, buddy. You got me. You got me.
It was like an early version of... Did you... you haven't watched Hobbs and Shaw, have you?
No, but it's on streaming, so maybe.
Yeah, it's an early version of Ryan Reynolds kind of obsesses over Hobbs? Hobbs is the Rock.
Yes.
So it's like... This feels like an early version of that. Yeah, I laughed when she poured wine down his throat because I had no fucking idea what I just saw. There's a lot of moments in this where I'm like, that can't possibly be what I just saw.
What the fuck is
this? They have a fight scene in, I want to say, a convention center lobby.
Yeah,
with the grenade.
And through the kitchen.
Yeah, and that was a legit stunt done terribly. Which is Dennis Rodman has to get outside the building and slides down the pole.
Oh, well, there's one shot that's CG and it looks awful.
I don't know if it's called CG. Are you talking about when they just stick Dennis Rodman in front of a green screen?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, like I wouldn't... It's technically CG. I'm just saying I wouldn't... dignify it by calling it CG. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like...
And every
I could do that shot when I was 15 and working at a public access place, you know, like,
well, it's part of the problem is also every time they cut to an insert of Rodman's face, he's like, he just looks bored. Like,
yes,
he looks bored and ridiculous. And then they'll cut to like a wide shot of like an actual stuntman sliding upside down that pole. And I'm like, fucking just show us that, you assholes.
Yeah.
That's
exactly.
Cool.
They didn't know how to do the action.
Yeah.
I wonder if part of it's Dennis Rodman's ego, where he's like, "No, I want it to be people to think it's me." And I think that's an 80s
I don't know if he
thing
had that
as well. Yeah, I think that's part of that's like 80s movie, like Schwarzenegger movies and stuff. There's always cutting to them close up to make it look like they're doing the stunt.
I think that I mean, I'm sure egos play into it, but that's a device that I think goes beyond egos. Well, the audience has to believe that it's the character. So let's cut to a quick.
Right. And there's really great ways to hide in to transition stunts. I'm reminded of Gemini Man, actually, that we just watched, where they would have someone on stuntman on a bike. And the camera, like, they do, like, the, there's a specific name for it that the internet is rock hard about right now. But basically, like, he goes behind something real quick.
Yeah.
And then it's cut to
And then the other
else.
Actor pops up. Yeah, that's one of the oldest tricks in the book.
Oh, yeah. They do it really good in Gemini Man because they do it in a one-er. That's clearly not really a one-er. But, yeah, it's not that. It's just a really good stunt where someone slides down a pole. When I say really good stunt, I mean passable stunt for a movie that until now I thought it didn't go. Like, now that you tell me this went in theaters, it's all less passable. But I thought this was like a small indie film.
Oh, no.
That is shocking to me.
No, this was a theatrical release.
Yeah, that... That blows my mind. So going back and judging this movie not as an indie action movie, nothing was passable.
You know what else?
What else?
The title of this film doesn't make any sense. Why is it called Simon Says?
His name is Simon.
Sure.
And I think that's it.
Right. Like, his name could have been anything. Like, they never, like, I was expecting at least one, like, at least that he would work that in somehow.
I think they do briefly. I feel like Dennis Rodman watched Demolition Man and right. was like, why didn't I get that role? Why didn't I get the role? Why aren't I in Demolition Man? And no one wanted to say, because you're not a good actor. and so he was like, I'm Simon Says, God damn it. And I feel like however this was cooked up, that was like one of the things. Where it's like, I want to be called Simon, and it should be called Simon Says. But beyond that, yeah, there's
nope, doesn't have anything to do with anything.
It really doesn't.
Nope, not at all.
It doesn't. None of this movie.
His name could have been Blake.
Yep.
Like, it doesn't.
None of. Here's the thing about this movie. Nothing in it has to do with anything else in it.
That's true.
This movie is a fever dream.
That's why when we attempted to explain the plot, it sort of blew up in the hangar.
Yeah, because there's fucking seven characters. we don't understand, like, what any of them are doing there. They never explain anything about what his job is, who's paying him. I guess Interpol, but, like, why?
Mm-hmm.
He's taking this, like, pro bono for Dane Cook.
Yeah.
That we don't understand the relationships between any of the characters. The fighting, oh, man. It was very clear that literally none of the actors knew how to fight.
Oh, yeah.
And they did... We talk about it all the time. The Jason Bourne's shaky can quick cuts. They did this in this one, and it was clearly not a choice. It was just what they had to do.
They also didn't do it as... I don't want to say as well, but they didn't do it as well. Because this is like a few years before Bourne
well,
Identity.
Here's why. It wasn't as shaky, and the cuts didn't make sense. The only reason the cuts made sense is to cover up the fact that they didn't know how to fight.
Right. They literally just cut and was like, okay, this is as much usable footage as we have of this angle. Yeah. This is as much usable footage as we have of this angle. Like, that's as much sense as the cuts made.
Yeah. And when I say no one knew how to fight, I'm including, like, the people he's fighting. The villains. Like, I'm including the people who could have been stuntmen. It didn't seem like... And maybe, I mean, maybe they're great stuntmen and they were just having a bad time on this movie because they couldn't work with Dennis Rodman. They couldn't... I'm sure they couldn't really find stuntmen because he is a tall man.
Right, there's a couple of very funny shots of an obvious stuntman wearing an obvious wig.
Yeah, there's also the monk, the fat monk.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
a couple of shots when he starts fighting.
Right.
It's like he suddenly becomes Asian in a few shots, and it was like, oh no.
He's clearly 150 pounds lighter.
Yeah, or in some sort of fat suit, or in like, yeah. it's not,
oh,
it, they don't
gosh.
Do it. It doesn't work.
It's oh this movie bless this movie's heart
I think it tried
I don't know if it did or not something else I want to point out is that every single gun in this movie looks ridiculous.
Yes,
did you notice like every gun had like 19 different ray gun attachments? Every gun looked like what a shithead 13-year-old thinks looks like a cool gun.
I don't think they had access to anything that looked like a real gun.
That's
Same
probably
with,
true.
In the end, when Dennis Rodman's like fighting guys, I believe he's in paintball gear. I think it's supposed to be motorcycle gear or something.
Mm-hmm.
But he just looks like he's out doing paintballs.
Sure.
I refuse to believe this was a mainstream film.
It was.
I can't imagine.
Stop resisting me.
I can't imagine leaving your house and going to see this movie and paying a ticket price. And this is what you get.
Mm-hmm.
That in 1999.
This is what you get.
That is fucking incredible.
Yeah, it had a theatrical release in September 24th of 1999.
It had a budget of $10 million. That is fucking wild.
Mm-hmm. And they filmed on location in France. I mean, you can tell.
Yeah. You can. Oh, yeah, that's where half the budget went. Or I think just that Dennis Rodman wanted to, I don't know, film there.
I think you think Dennis Rodman had more control over this film than he actually did.
See, that's the only explanation I have for this movie, is it feels like an ego thing. But yeah, I guess, because I just don't see him, I don't see him sitting down and going through the casting process for Simon Says. I think this was built around him. When did Triple X come out?
That came out after Fast and the Furious, so like that was like 2003.
You're right. It just feels like it's of that era.
Rodman didn't have a hit movie to his name yet, of which Vin Diesel did. So like they were trying to turn Rodman's sort of, like I said, he was this larger than life character who was sort of like in the news all the time for being just like this out of control wild dude. So they were like, well, let's capture that and put it in a movie. And they sort of tested the waters with Double Team. And then this was the first and last movie that they tried to build around him. I'm sure like some negotiations were involved and shit to get it. But I don't think like Rodman was on this. I can't imagine Rodman was on set, like calling shots and like,
I don't think he's blameless. I'm not saying he's making choices on set, but I think there's a level of like it was built around him,
mm-hmm.
and there's stuff where like I can see them being like, so you're gonna be like funny and wacky in this, and he's like, no, I'm an agent, why would you want me to do that, I'm a secret agent, I'm gonna be serious. And they're like, oh, okay, I guess let's find a funny guy. Like I can just see there being a pushback, because it's just, I feel like a lot of these disasters happen when it's nonsense. Because if you just took a writer, any writer, and said, make an action movie, and the main character's going to be Dennis Rodman, they would make something that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then it could have been just producer meddling, too, or just whatever. But this is like, this is such a mess that it feels like there was a need to cram things in that didn't belong there or take things away. Like it feels like there were multiple people making demands, which is why I keep thinking,
I'm sure Rodman. That's probably true.
Jesus. You told me a fact about the casting that I want you to share with people.
What did I tell you?
Didn't you tell me?
Oh, right. I did.
And this blew my mind.
The Dane Cook role was originally going to be played by Robert Downey Jr.
Guys,
and he dropped out the day before filming began.
Yeah, that's how you get a 15-year-old Dane Cook.
Yep.
And if he had dropped out for Iron Man, guess who they would have gotten?
Yeah,
they would have been like, Dane, you're in. He's his understudy.
I mean, keep in mind this movie came out in '99, so this would have been 1998. Robert Downey Jr.
This is the movie that made Robert Downey Jr. be like, man, I need to get some help.
I think I was almost in
Simon Says.
I think this was before he goes to jail.
Yep. Well, this, like, I mean, this sure seems like the darkness, you know?
Oh, yeah.
This is the abyss that he has to crawl out of for his, like, if you're making a Robert Downey Jr. biopic, I think you'd show him, like, you know, in an alleyway, drunk, accepting the role for Simon Says.
Yeah.
And it's just like, look how fucking low it's gotten.
Based on his performance in the previous year's film, U.S. Marshals.
Yep. Oh, I love U.S. Marshals. He's on so much drugs in that movie.
I love U.S. Marshals.
He is high in that movie.
He is visibly
having
a bad time.
He's still great. He's great in it, but...
Yeah, he's great. But he's like visibly fucked up in that movie.
In his movie, it would be like his loved one being like, "What is this?" And being like, "It's not mine." And she'd raise up the script to Simon Says, "What the fuck is this?"
No, it's not mine. I was holding it for a friend of mine.
Yeah, what are we talking about? I was holding
it for Dane. I was holding it for Dane.
Holding it for Dane. Oh man.
Dane Cook is repellent in this movie.
He is. I can't fucking believe. Okay,
I cannot believe how just.
I have a question.
Terrible and off-putting he is in this. What's your question?
I might have to rewatch this movie. I want to go through, because there's clearly lines that Dane Cook was written for him, and then there's the improv. I want to imagine Robert Downey Jr. saying those lines, because maybe they'd be better. Maybe they make more sense. I mean, it wasn't written for him, but...
I was thinking, yeah, the role was written for either actor, but I, like, watching the film, like, I looked up that fact early, so I had that in my mind the whole time. Like, there are certain parts where I'm like, I can picture how Robert Downey Jr. would have done this.
Yeah. I demand a remake.
He would have been more like his character in Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I can see that.
It's not far. The characters are similar in terms of what they are.
And I guess in fairness to Dane Cook, if he got this movie and they're like, okay, and we shoot tomorrow, he'd be like, okay, I guess I'm going to do a bunch of cocaine then. Like, look through the script like, well, this script is, what are they in, a boat on a pool? All right, cocaine it is. Yep. Going to pretend to be a dinosaur. I don't think they'll mind.
I'm going to try to work in as much of my stand-up as possible.
Yep.
So that maybe kids who see this the opening weekend before it inevitably bombs will come buy some tickets to my show.
Yeah. How much money do you suppose this movie made?
$2 million. $2 million.
Oh, okay. that's your guess?
Yeah.
It starts with a two. $292,000.
Oh no.
Holy shit.
Oh no. That's so much worse. That's so much less than 2 million.
That is less than 2 million. That is not even
that's
1
bad.
Million. This movie.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Yeah, I think we're done talking about it. I sort of recommend it if you like bad movies.
Watch it with friends and be astounded.
Yeah, I think
be
it's got
astounded
that level.
And amazed.
Like I got a little bored here and there, and that's why you need friends to talk
that's
over.
That's why
you
need friends, yeah.
But it's something else.
It's bonkers enough that it's worth renting with friends if you're like, hey, let's watch a shitty movie. Watch Simon Says.
Yeah, watch Simon Says.
That's going to be in the pantheon of shitty movies.
For sure.
This came out the same year as The Mummy.
Yep. Came out the same year of a lot of good things.
Yeah, a lot of
good
films.
It is shocking. It is shameful that this quality movie came out. Because, again, the writing, it's like, okay, yeah, bad writing is bad writing. But it is the effects, the look of it. It looks bad.
Every element of this movie is bad.
Yes.
Every single element of this film is bad.
Yeah, it's a movie that, like, especially since how much it made, when they watched the final cut of it, they should have not released it. They should have been like, you know what? We could spend extra money to market this, but let's just put it in a shoebox and not talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Let's put it in a shoebox with a bunch of feathers. Stick it on a boat and just push it out to sea.
Push it out to sea.
Maybe one day some civilization will find it.
Yep.
And maybe they'll know what to do with it. Yeah,
they'll be like, what the fuck is this?
What the fuck is this?
Oh, shit. So, yeah. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah,
yeah,
thank you guys so much for listening to Simon Says.
Yeah, thanks for Nolan Matin for fucking showing us this nightmare.
Yeah.
Like we said, he's a Patreon subscriber. If you're interested in such things, you can go to patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. We have exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman and Fox Mulder is a Maniac. There's a bunch of different tiers, including this one where you make us watch movies, sometimes terrible movies.
Yeah, it's about 50-50.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all good.
It's a pretty even split.
Nothing but love. Nothing but love.
Yeah, maybe next week we'll watch The Piano. I don't know.
Yeah. It's funny you should say that. I'm not going to reveal what we're watching, but it is tonally surprising.
Okay.
Like, surprisingly different than what we just did.
Okay. Well, you can also head over to our store, tpublic.com/store/gamefullyunemployed, where we got shirts and stickers and posters and all kinds of shit that you can check out, and you should do it. Before you watch Simon Says.
Then you watch Simon Says.
Or do it while you're watching Simon Says. During the boring parts, you can go to our store.
Yep. Yeah.
And then look up in time to see Dennis Rodman slide upside down on a pole in a very bad effect.
Yep. And don't let your kids around this movie or Dane Cook in this movie.
I think just in general, don't let your children near Dane Cook.
Yeah, that's a good rule. That's
nothing.
Fair.
Nothing he's produced is safe for children. Oh wait, that Planes movie.
I wouldn't show kids that either.
Even Fire and Rescue, that movie was kind
of
dope.
Oh, that was pretty dope. Yeah,
that fucking kind of dope.
Ed Harris in that.
Yeah.
Terrific, guys.
The Planes sequel is surprisingly decent.
Yeah, check out Planes, Fire and Rescue for your Dane Cook library.